Well, thank you, Tim, and good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is very nice to be together again. We look forward to this very, very much. It makes the day extra special. We're here today to keep God's command that on the first day of the seventh month, on God's calendar, we have a holy convocation. So that is a command in the book of Leviticus. Today is one of God's holy days. It's a special day to God. It's a privilege for all of us to be here. We should consider just being here a privilege. What is the one thing, though, that makes this holy day different from all the other holy days? Well, when you look at the instructions to keep this holy day, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24 says it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. That's the only thing that tells us that's different about this day. And it's what gives this day its distinction. Numbers 29, verse 1 also talks about this day, and it says it is a day of blowing the trumpet. A day of blowing the trumpet. And we've already had that happen here. We have fulfilled this day in a sense. So today I want to bring to mind the blowing of trumpets, and in particular the trumpets of the book of Revelation. The trumpets that I want to focus on, the trumpets of the book of Revelation. There's trumpets mentioned scattered throughout the Bible, but especially in the book of Revelation. There's a significant trumpets. And I think part of the purpose of this day is to focus on the meaning of those trumpets in the book of Revelation. What are the lessons that we can learn from them? What are the lessons that we can learn from that part of the Bible as we read it? I have to admit myself, I haven't read the book of Revelation for a while. And it's not my favorite book to read. Certain parts of it probably is, but on the whole, it's not a part of the book I tend to go to, part of the Bible I tend to go to. And just for those of you who would like to know more about the book of Revelation, the United Church of God has an excellent booklet about the book of Revelation. And it's, I think, 70-some pages long. It explains the book of Revelation the best we know how to explain it. It's still very hard sometimes to totally understand everything there. But I thought that was very helpful in my sermon today. So I want to give that the credit. First, it says in Leviticus that it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A memorial means a memento or a memorable thing. A memorable day is a memorial. So we should see that the time of the blowing of trumpets in Revelation is going to be a memorable time in the history of mankind. When the kingdom comes and people look back on the history of mankind for the first 6,000 years, roughly, the time of the blowing of trumpets is going to be a very, very memorable time. It hasn't happened yet, so we can't really talk about it. But after it happens, people will fully realize the significance of that time in history. It will make things like 9/11 seem very insignificant, very insignificant. One question I asked when I was looking into this, does it matter what kind of trumpet is blown, or what kind of trumpet is it talking about in Leviticus and Numbers when it says the memorial of blowing of trumpets? So I thought, well, I'll look in my concordance, and it'll tell me roughly what kind of a trumpet they were talking about. I thought maybe that's significant. But when I looked in the concordance under trumpets, there was no Hebrew word there. There was no Hebrew word there. So I thought, well, it must be the word blowing of trumpets is one word in Hebrew. So I looked up the word blowing, and sure enough, the blowing of trumpets is all one Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is spelled T-R-U-W-A-A-H. I mean, it's Hebrew to me. I don't know a whole lot more than that, okay? But what it means is, and how it's translated many different ways in the Old Testament. It's translated as an alarm. It's translated as a loud noise, a shout, often a great shout, a loud shout. One time it's translated rejoicing, or another place it's translated a joyful sound. And several places, including the two that I mentioned, it's translated a blowing of trumpets. Now, the blowing of a trumpet was one way in the Israelites sounded an alarm. They sounded an alarm with the blowing of trumpets. Over in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19, I just look at that scripture real quick. I can read it. You don't even need to turn there. He says, "O my soul, I'm pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace. Because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war." The alarm of war. And the word, the alarm there, is the same word as the blowing of trumpets. The blowing of trumpets is the same Hebrew word. So it's an alarm. Mostly that word was translated as an alarm, a great shout. But a couple times you notice that it was a more of a positive thing, rejoicing or a joyful sound. But it's maybe a hint of how the blowing of trumpets in the book of Revelation is going to be also. Mostly it's an alarm. Mostly it's a great shout to get our attention, but there is some aspects of it that causes rejoicing, a joyful sound. In order to understand the trumpets of Revelation, I think it helps to put them in the context of the events that are happening in the book of Revelation. When you open the book of Revelation in the first chapter, it tells you that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. The purpose of this book was God's way of showing his servants things that would take place in the future. And except for possibly the description of some of the different churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, I think the rest of the book has not come to pass yet. It still has not come to pass, the book of Revelation, the events that are brought out in the book of Revelation. So after the first few chapters set the stage. They describe the churches, the importance of the church. The church is very precious to God, and he is very concerned about the church. But the church has its problems, the church has its strengths, has its weaknesses. It needs to work on its problems and build on its strengths. It describes God's throne, the setting of this book describes God's throne. And then it describes a scroll that has seven seals. Seven seals, things that seal the scroll so that you don't really know what it says or what's contained therein until you open those seals. So What did they see as they opened the seven seals? And this is gives us the context of the later part of the book. The first five seals describe conditions that will be on the earth prior to God's judgment and God's punishments. This is prior to God intervening. The first seal revealed a white horse, And it says that he was, the one rider on the white horse was out to conquer. He was out to conquer. Over in, let's just go over to Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. We'll pick up the story as they open all of these seals. In Matthew chapter 24, there is a parallel explanation of the conditions prior to Christ's return, his second coming. And the first thing that Christ brought out and the condition that he explained it would be on the earth was, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And that condition is on the earth today. I just happened to be reading a National Geographic from, this was 2005, old National Geographic, but in there they had the religions of the world. And it was amazing to me that 33% of the world believes in Christianity. 33% of the world believes in Christianity. A different type of Christianity than what we believe in. That kind of hit me. But the first condition is, as we read here, he says, "Now I saw the Lamb open one of the seals," and I, this is Revelation 6:1, "and I heard one of the four living creatures with a voice like thunder, come and see, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Now, if you read later in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ comes on a white horse. So the fact that this came on a white horse, he's acting as, in a sense, as an imposter. He's trying to appear Christ-like, but his intent is to deceive. His intent is to gain control over. His intent is to gain power and glory, have large numbers of followers. And at the time of the end, the Bible reveals that the deception of humanity will be so great that most of the world will be under the sway of a corrupt, false, idolatrous religious system. That's the way the world is going to be at the end time. It's under the sway of a corrupt religious system, one that rejects much of the Bible. So that's the first seal. The second seal, we read in verse 3. "Then he opened the second seal, and I heard the second living creature say, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, this horse, it went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword." So this is the exact opposite of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. This one is going to take peace from the earth. He's going to encourage people to kill one another. And he has a great sword. He has lots of weapons. He has powerful weapons at his. And this is a symbol of war. There's going to be war on the earth. Wars are going to increase. It seems like ever since I've been living, there's always been a war somewhere. And you read back through history, there's war after war. It seems like we never learn our lessons. We never obtain the peace that we so much desire. We desire peace, but we don't know the way to peace. And right before the time of the end, it will seem like much of the world is at war. So that's what the second seal reveals. The third seal in verse 5. Then he opened the third seal. I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine." A quart of wheat for a denarius, I think I looked somewhere, it was like 2 days' wages, or 1 day's wage. 1 day's wage for a quart of wheat. Very high prices for something simple, something that's usually very reasonable in price. And that it just tells us there's going to be a shortage of food. Shortage of food causes, when food is short, prices will go up very high. So there's going to be famine, and that's what the third seal reveals, is there's going to be famine on the earth. They're going to be very measuring everything very closely and hoarding, and people are going to be hungry. There will be probably droughts on the earth that's going to cause it. Also, war, just all the second seal with all the wars on the earth. When there's war, there's less food around. People can't get out into their fields to plant. War destroys fields. It's just lots of different consequences. So the third condition we're going to see before the time of the end is famine on the earth. The fourth is revealed in verse 7. And he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him, or the grave followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and by the beast of the earth. So the pale horse, pale is the color of a corpse. It's actually the technical translation of that should be yellowish green, which it truly is the color of a corpse. There's going to be lots of corpses around. Doesn't say specifically why so many people are dying. Christ talked in Matthew chapter 24 about pestilences and disease epidemics. They could be part of the reason for death. Of course, war, lots of war will cause lots of deaths. Famine will cause deaths, lead to people not having to be able to resist the diseases. But because of the war and the famines, and the other things that bring about death, one-fourth of the people on the earth are going to die. And, of course, the beasts of the field are probably going to be hungry, too, because if there isn't enough food for humans, the beasts of the earth are going to be probably more violent. Doesn't paint a very pretty picture. But these are the first four seals. The fifth seal in verse 9. And then he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who should be killed as they were, was completed. The fifth seal reveals that there is going to be a martyrdom of people who who stand up for the Word of God. There's going to be a martyrdom. For people who preach God's Word, they're going to be persecuted for what they teach, what they believe. It's going to be a very, very evil time. But as this scripture reveals and other scriptures reveals, that those who are killed are actually just at rest. And there will be a resurrection for them. And there will be eternal life for them. And God still keeps them in mind. But it's an awful thing to think about, is the martyrdom of the Christians. It's happened in the past, but according to the scriptures, it's going to happen in the future. There is going to be a martyrdom. And the first, that's the fifth condition that's going to be on the earth. And as you can see, all five of the first five conditions are brought about by man himself. Man has done this to himself. And brought about these kind of conditions. In his time, God will punish those that are evil. He will bring about justice, as we read till the end of the book of Revelation. You need to read the rest of the book. You don't need to you read this part and get totally discouraged. The sixth seal in verse 12. And I looked, and behold the sixth seal, and behold there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon came like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and great men, the rich men, the commanders and the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The sixth seal reveals that after man has done all these things, there is going to be some major natural disasters. Doesn't say exactly how all of this is going to happen. Probably a great earthquake. Every mountain and every island will be moved. Something so bad happens that the sun actually becomes black. The moon looks like it's bloody. Stars appear to be falling out of the sky. And the sky is going to be seeming like it's rolling up like a scroll, like it's like maybe the sky is disappearing. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But people on the earth are going to be fearful as never been before, and they're going to want to hide. The earth will be a mess. The weather is probably going to be all messed up. It's just going to be horrible. It's going to be a horrible place to be when this happens. So that is the sixth seal. Then we come to the seventh seal. We haven't even gotten to the trumpets yet. The seventh seal is over in chapter 8, in verse 1. And it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. So when they saw what was going to happen in the seventh seal, it was just an eerie silence. It's like the silence before a storm. I think it made those who saw it very reflective and very sober. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Finally, we get to the trumpets. There's seven trumpets. The seven trumpets are a part of the seventh seal. The seventh seal reveals the seven trumpets. And then as we read in verse 3, then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. The one good thing that we read here is the saints are still going to be praying. And God is still going to be hearing. And it's the prayers of the saints is like incense before our great God. And he does hear our prayers. He will hear our prayers even in the time of utter destruction that has come upon the earth. So, the seven trumpets, in summary, will provide us with a summary with what will happen during the time known as the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord is the time of the seven trumpets. The Day of the Lord is talked about many times in the Old Testament. I know I looked in my concordance, and just a limited concordance, there were eight books of the Old Testament prophets that talked about the Day of the Lord. An example is, just keep your place in Revelation. I just want to turn over to Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Just an example of the Day of the Lord. Joel 2, blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. So you can read the rest of this chapter later. It's a very interesting chapter. The first part of it describes the day of the Lord, but also the latter part is much more positive and talks about our great God that we serve and gives us some insight about the day of the Lord, though. But the day of the Lord is when those trumpets sound, it's going to make the people tremble. And it should make everyone who thinks about it tremble. The day of the Lord is a day of darkness and gloominess. It's not my favorite thing to read about, not my favorite thing to talk about, but it is in the Bible, and we need to understand it. Because this is the time when God will intervene in world affairs. God will intervene. He has seen what mankind has done to the earth. He has seen what mankind has done to the saints, especially makes him angry. And he sees how they treat one another. And the day of the Lord is God's punishment on the earth at that time. Just as the great God punished the world in the day of Noah, so he will punish mankind in the future. It's not going to be a flood like it was in the day of Noah, but it's going to be different ways that he's going to punish. And the seven trumpets reveal those different ways that God is going to punish this earth. Each trumpet blast reveals a type of punishment. Trumpets sound an alarm. Trumpets give a warning. So let's look at the different trumpet blasts and what they reveal. So back over to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The first punishment is against nature, and specifically it's against what grows out of the ground. The green grass is going to be destroyed. A third of the trees are going to be destroyed, burned up. It's going to be a devastating thing to the ecology of the earth. It's going to be a devastating thing to the people and the animals that are still here. It's taking away much of their habitat. It's taking away much of what they eat. Truly, there will, after this happens, there truly will even be more of a famine. The second trumpet in verse 8. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The second punishment is also against nature, but this time it's specifically against the sea and all the things that are in the sea. And we don't know what it is. It's gonna be like a huge mountain falling into the sea. The mountain's on fire. So maybe it's a huge meteorite or a comet or something that hits the ocean. Maybe it's just a series of many volcanoes that spew up fire and they're all falling into the ocean. But it's, you know, as vast as our oceans are, I mean, the 3/4 of the Earth's surface is ocean, I believe. 1/3 of it is going to be destroyed. The life in it is going to be destroyed. It's just an unbelievable thing. It's hard to even imagine how this is going to happen. But this is what the second trumpet, and these are God's punishments on the earth. And notice that it's just against nature, these first punishments. The third punishment in verse 10, the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Here again, might be like a meteorite or a comet or something. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So the third punishment is against the fresh water supplies. Somehow, 1/3 of all the fresh water on the earth becomes bitter, and the people that drink it die. Here again, a very devastating thing to the ecology and to the what really provides for the needs of mankind. The fourth trumpet blows in verse 12. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So the punishment, the fourth punishment, is against the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And they're not going to be as strong. They're not going to shine as long. You can imagine the effects on the weather of the earth is going to be devastating. I can imagine it's going to be much, much colder. And, you know, how are things going to survive under those conditions? It's just seems like devastating thing after devastating thing happens. And you would think when all of this is happening that the people on the earth should start wondering, what is going on here? What is happening? You know, is this a... What have we done wrong? And you would think, but, you know, people should appreciate God's creation. It is wonderfully made, and all the things in God's creation work together to provide an environment that mankind truly can thrive in. And as it says in the book of Genesis, God made it, and it was very good. God made it all, but this reveals that God can take it all away. And mankind truly does not appreciate God's creation. Mankind in general does not give God the credit for the creation. But even after all of these things happen, mankind still does not repent. Mankind still does not look to God. So far, the trumpet punishments haven't been directed directly towards mankind. But that changes, as we shall see. Verse 13. And I looked, and behold, an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So another dire warning, and this time to the inhabitants of the earth. The next three trumpets are going to be directed toward humankind. It's kind of like they took a little breather between the fourth and the fifth trumpets. Fifth trumpet is in chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and he saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Now, the bottomless pit is the place where Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. The bottomless pit is never talked about as being a good place, never talked about being a place where godly beings would be. It seems like it's possibly a prison for demons, and anyway, they're going to be released. Then, verse 3, then when the smoke... out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and they're going to appear as locusts. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So it's very important for those Christians who are still alive at that time to have the seal of God on your forehead, because that will save you, just like having the blood on the doorpost at Passover saved the Israelites. Having the seal of God on your forehead will save you from this punishment. And they were not given authority to kill them, so the people that they were going to be attacking, they were not to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And then it goes on to describe the locusts there in verse 7 and 8, a very vicious-looking things. In verse 10, they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. And what those words mean in English is destruction. This king whose title is destruction. Very, very evil king. He's going to be over these things that come out of the earth. And torment the people on the earth for 5 months. Fortunately, it's for only 5 months. God is in control, and he will only allow them to torment them for 5 months. God is in control. He won't allow them to torment the people who have the seal of God on their foreheads. Chapter 9 and verse 20. Chapter 9, verse 20. Chapter 9, verse 13. The sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet. So we've had five trumpets. The sixth trumpet sounds, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels, which had been prepared for the day, the hour and day and month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And it describes the army and those that were on the horses, 200 million army that are going to be assisting these angels, it seems, and will be killing one third of mankind. So you finally think mankind should now be humbled, that they would turn to God for help, that they would repent and turn from their sins. But what do they do? Now, verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. The people still refuse to repent. They worship the work of their hands. They worship demons. They worship idols. They murder. They are into witchcraft and casting spells. They're into all kinds of sexual immorality. And it doesn't bother them to steal what other people have, to be dishonest in business. The sins that are talked about here are all sins that are prominent in the world today. And as you look back on it, to me it seems like they're much more prominent than they were 50 years ago. It's just a bad omen for the future. And people do need to repent of all of these things. That's what God wants. He wants repentance. But they refused to repent. So, there's one more trumpet to sound. The seventh, and over in chapter 10, verse 5. Chapter 10, verse 5. And the angel who was standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So several things very interesting here. It reiterates that God is our great creator. And it just seeing how those things are destroyed makes us appreciate them all the more, I think. But he is our great creator. And he has delayed, evidently, all of this stuff happening in the hopes of people that would repent. And what is going to happen is somewhat of a mystery. It is somewhat of a mystery. You really won't understand it until it actually happens. But the mystery is going to be revealed to those who are there to see it. Also, it is a much anticipated time by the angels. And it has been talked about by the prophets in the Old Testament. The seventh trumpet is a climax. Everything will finally be revealed. We've only seen glimpses of it. Okay, turn over to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Finally, we get to the seventh angel's trumpet. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you've taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and would destroy those who destroyed the earth." A lot happens with the seventh trumpet. it kind of gives us a summary of all the different things that are going to happen with the seventh trumpet. And this afternoon, you're going to need to wait to hear the second message to hear much of what's going to happen on the seventh trumpet. Sorry, I don't have time to give you the very positive message that comes from the Feast of Trumpets. But there is much that happens on the seventh trumpet. Christ sets up a kingdom and reigns. Some of the dead are going to be judged. The saints are going to be rewarded. The nations are still going to be angry. And God is going to need to destroy those who destroy the earth. Now turn over to chapter 15, verse 1. This is all a part of the seventh trumpet, something we don't normally focus on a whole lot. Chapter 15, verse 1, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. Part of the seventh trumpet sounding is the seven last plagues. And the wrath of God still punishing those who have disobeyed him, who have not respected him, who have done all kinds of things to cause him to be angry. Chapter 6, we'll read about the seventh plagues. It just seems like it's just, how could it get any worse? Chapter 16, verse 2. So there's angels doing pouring out these bowls of the wrath of God on the earth in verse 1. Verse 2, so the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. A foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. So that's, it's specifically against those who have the mark of the beast, who worship the idol of his image. And they're going to have a sore, a very painful sore. Second plague, the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood, as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. So some of them survived I think it was the second trumpet blast. But now every creature in the sea is going to die. Verse 4, the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. So again, it's going to be against our fresh water that people have to drink and to use for all kinds of things. Then verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. So now the sun's going to be made so, people probably were complaining about it being so cold, now it's going to be extremely hot. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and did not repent and or give him glory. You know, that's still, people refuse to repent. It's amazing. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. So it's specifically against the throne of this big beast power, which I don't have time to talk about today. And his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed with their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain, their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. So that's specifically against the beast and his headquarters and those that are there. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up, so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, from the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And there are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole earth to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So the final climax is they're going to gather all these armies from all over the earth, and it's called the Battle of Armageddon. Battle of Armageddon. They're going to gather there, and these demons are going to be the ones that gather them there. And they're going to be actually wanting to fight against Jesus Christ. And then, verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." Finally, it is over. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake with a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. And it's going to be so great that the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon was remembered for God before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So he's specifically angry towards Babylon. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, about 75 pounds. Each hailstone, 75 pounds. Will men repent? No, men are still going to blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. So the last plagues are the culmination of the seventh trumpet. It's eventually going to be over. And in the whole scheme of things and the whole time of even the earth as a whole, it's just going to be a short time, maybe just a few years. The day of the Lord may only be 1 year. Day in oftentimes means a year. So the day of the Lord could be just 1 year. It's been, hopefully it's no longer than 1 year. Why is God so angry? Why does God punish mankind? Why is the day of the Lord necessary? You have to ask that after reading this, because you think, this is all so awful. Couldn't God have done it a better? Couldn't something better have been done? Well, I have four reasons that I feel that it's that God is doing this. The first reason is because of how evil the world had become. And the world was suffering tremendously as a consequence because of the evil on the earth. People may have wanted to do right, but the system is evil. And they were just caught in the system. And Matthew says, except those days be shortened, no one would be saved alive. It's going to be that evil that they were just going to eventually kill themselves anyway. But God was very upset with the world when Noah, the world was very evil then. God was very upset with evil. And he will be very upset with the evil of this world. Second reason is because of how the world has treated his servants, his saints. It's revealed that they're so disrespected, they're so hated, that many of them are martyred. They're persecuted. They're treated as rubbish. But God's servants and his saints are special in his eyes, and there will be justice. God sees to it that there will be justice. The third reason is because of the specific sins mentioned in Revelation chapter 9, 20 through 21. We read them. It's about murders, sorceries, sexual immorality, thefts, idolatry. Specific sins and their refusal to repent of them. It makes God very angry. Fourth reason is because of a false system that was inspired by Satan that has deceived the whole world. That false system had to be destroyed. So what does all of this mean for us? Well, we're reminded of these alarms today. And every year on the Feast of Trumpets, we're somewhat reminded of the trumpets of alarm. It should alarm us. It should sober us. But it also should make us in awe of our great and very powerful God. He is very great and very powerful. It seems sometimes today he has his hands off. God doesn't seem to do anything about things. But eventually he will do something about things. And he is going to do some things described here, things that we've never seen, some things that we can't even imagine how it's going to be. It should make us have a fear and a respect for our great God and for what he says. It should really make us look to great God and say, hey, am I right in your eyes? Am I living the life that you would want me to live? What is your purpose for me? How can I serve more? How can I help my fellow servants? Are we preparing ourselves to be servants of God? Are we storing up our lamps with oil, like the five wise virgins that Christ talked about in the parable of the virgins? Now is the time we should be storing up our lamps with oil. Are we on guard not to be deceived by those who are out to conquer? There are many out to conquer and to deceive us. We have to be on guard. Now, once these events start happening, it's going to be too late. Once you start seeing, especially the trumpets and the things that happen from the trumpets, it's going to be too late. It's now that we need to prepare. Now is the time when we have peace, relative peace. We have freedom of religion. We have an abundance of God's word. God has provided. Now is the time we need to prepare. The seven trumpets of Revelation sound an alarm. The day of God's wrath is coming. Fortunately, it won't last real long. We can look past that time to a better world, and we need to be looking past that time to a better world so that we can live and stick to our convictions through it all. But the better world starts at the seventh trump when the righteous king comes. So I encourage everyone to stick around for this afternoon and hear more about what happens at the seventh trump.